And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for Monday, March 1st, 2021. Hard to believe, month of March already. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you here with us. MarketTalkAg.com is our home on the web. MarketTalkAg.com. Find us Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at MarketTalkAg as well. And you can find our great radio affiliates there and all of our streaming sources, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and much more. Well, we saw a reversal in the grain complex today, specifically on that soybean side, the soy complex, and we finished the day lower across the board with hogs the only exception. Let's talk about it. Let's bring in our good friend Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Brian, good afternoon, and welcome to the month of March, my friend.
Yes, sir. We're already here. Amazing, huh? Boy.
Yeah, just absolutely amazing. I don't know where the first 2 months of the year went, to be quite honest.
Yeah, well, it seems to be this way, and it's going to wind up even faster for most of our farmers who, you know, they're only, in theory, weeks away from in the field. And in fact, I was talking to some further south today. Next week they'll get rolling. So
yeah, hard to believe.
Yeah, especially after the cold weather last week.
Yeah, hard to believe we're almost to that planting window, and it's definitely going to be an interesting couple of weeks here for our farmers. And starting out the month here today with an interesting reversal in this market, especially on soybeans. I know we got that that weekly inspections, shipments, inspections out today. Explain to us what you saw that happened, especially in that soybean complex here as we kind of got to mid-morning and got some of those reports out. We shifted this thing lower, Brian. What did you see there?
Yeah, I'm going to say no huge surprise. We're starting to see the export inspection slow. It was a low number today. We've already exported a lot of beans so far. But we saw a good number in corn. So you got to think about shipping and shipping capacity and components of that and just where that goes. I think what the markets were lacking today was just any kind of new juice, anything positive, anything friendly. As we looked maybe toward the weather in South America, you might be a little bit drier in Argentina, shift to that, but Southern Brazil, they've been dry. It looks like they could get some rain this week. So there's no real story that we saw toward the end of last week or this week. And when beans popped over 14, looking like they're ready to go somewhere fast, they just kind of ran out of steam again. So they're still holding together well. The supplies are critically tight. We think that'll be confirmed again next week at the USDA or on the USDA report on the 9th. But, with a light export inspection number today and really negativity across the wheat, corn, commodity complex you indicated earlier, just didn't hold up well.
Yeah, and not necessarily what I think farmers wanted to see moving into the month of March, but you hit the nail on the head there. We got that USDA WASDE report coming out next week, and that's seems like that's going to be the next milestone in the road, and we keep talking about tightening supplies, and I think I'm in the camp with you. I don't know how we don't tighten things up a little bit more in this March report, and I'm very curious what we're going to see next week.
Yeah, it would be difficult to imagine we're going to see carryout grow, or at least a lot. Now, there may be some line item adjustments, and we always have to be prepared that you might see a 15, 20 million bushel swing in either direction, but I think the USDA, I think what they did last month, for the most part, in both corn and beans, if you might remember after the report, the terminology was they kind of kicked the can down the road for a month.
Yeah.
And so I think the goal there might have been to really get a better view of the Southern Hemisphere. So I think if there's any surprise there, they might look at it and say, hey, look, the bottom line is, and the market really looks like it's traded this too, a month has gone by, and it looks likelier that the bean crop is a little bit bigger this month than it was a month ago. So how do you work those numbers into the U.S. With prices as high as they are now? Maybe they have to add a little bit into the carryout number. We'll see. But suffice it to change, I don't think we're going to change or you're going to see any significant change. It's all weather in the Southern Hemisphere for now. And then we're really starting to almost fast track look at our weather here in the U.S. That drought monitor map, still kind of large, looming large. It's getting closer. But then again, some good rains in parts of the Southern Corn Belt today. And shouldn't be any problem with moisture in that part of the world when they get moving in 4 to 8 weeks in that window there.
Very, very true. I know definitely a washout here in Nashville the last couple of days. So definitely hitting some of these southern areas for sure. You know, and looking at the charts today, Brian, obviously most of our selling pressure was in the old crop. New crop held together fairly decently on the day. And if I'm a producer, you know, starting the month of March here, looking at doing some marketing, still a lot of good price levels out there in new crop contracts for corn, beans, and wheat to find a little profit or at least lock in that floor, it seems.
You know, there's real opportunity here, and the market isn't going to go up every week, but it went up last week. We had new highs in corn and beans last week, so we got to keep that in mind that we've got some really outstanding opportunity. I think as a producer, it's easy to get lulled into the idea that in particular this new crop has plenty of room to go up to catch up the old crop. Think of it the other way. The old crop might have plenty of room to go down to the new crop. And that's typically what happens as we see supplies from elsewhere in the world start to really make their way elsewhere in the world. So that'd be my concern. And I think the bear spreaders, so they're selling the front months, buying the deferred months, are on top of that lately. They're either reversing their bull spreads or just either entering bear spreads or both, looking for that big inversion to begin to narrow in. And it has the last 3 weeks. That could be a sign that a market is getting, especially old crop, getting tired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's a good point. It seems like old crop might be getting a little tired. It's just run up and run up and run up. And I think you're right. I think we're starting to see some of that shift here in the spreads to go to this new crop arena. And, you know, we think about this and we talk about entering, you know, planting season here in just a couple of weeks. And any major shifts in weather, good or bad for us here in the U.S., I mean, could really have an impact on these new crop prices. So it would seem to me that farmers maybe want to lock in some sort of a floor here and maybe even sell a little bit if it makes sense for them, or at least, you know, have a room to re-own over the top here as we go into spring planting season with maybe some weather concerns slowly starting to develop here in the U.S. Would you agree?
I would. And what you're talking really about, Jesse, is you're talking about using the kind of the right tool at the right time. So how do we lock in some or prices or put a floor in the market? Yet it's way early in the season. We all know that, you know, 6-8 weeks of dry weather in summer and prices could, well, let's just say go up a lot. So utilize the tools. So if you're selling old crop and want to stay in the game, you look at buying call options if you want quantified risk. If you're selling new crop through a forward sale, you look at buying call options, probably out to September or December in corn, November in soybeans. There are these things called short-dated options. They're a little more complicated, but not really. They're just a shorter time window, but they're based off of either December corn or the November bean contract. So you've got these opportunities to really start maneuvering, strategically shifting risk, and taking advantage of what the market's given you. I know the biggest fear, because we're only human beings, that most producers have, is just selling too much too soon and watch the market continue to go up. And that's kind of the feel that many had in beans. They got a really good price and they got even a better price and they weren't able to participate. Keeping that balanced approach, using paper tools to supplement good cash marketing.
Yeah, and I think it just all comes down to working with your advisor and getting a little help if you don't understand a lot of those different tools that are out there for you to use at the right time. Brian, let's shift over to livestock today. I think a lot of eyes were on this hog market as we got started with the week here. We closed weaker to end the week. Some people wondering if we topped out in this hog market, but we came back in here today. We were off the highs, but we finished strong, it seemed, across the board. What do you make of this hog market right now?
Yeah, it's had this beautiful uptrend and expectations of strong demand, and then looked like the market might have gotten tired maybe late December, January, kind of consolidated out, and then all of a sudden took back off again. So what's really happened over the last month? Well, we've had, you know, a good export market for sure, but really the sort of the resurgence, or maybe the resurgence of a widespread African swine fever can in China. So up we go. And if you think about it, I mean, if there's one driving force in the market, maybe the last 3 weeks, 2 weeks, it may be African swine fever increasing the prospects for pork. Hog futures have been up and up and up. And look at the grain markets. Really, corn has gone sideways for a month, and soybeans have gone sideways for a month. So it might be that's your driving you know, maybe it's your story out there. There's so many stories this year. You know, there's, you know, South American weather too. We'd argue that's been better for crops, but yeah, you got to like that hog market. The question is, when is enough enough? $95. I was talking to one larger producer last week. He was talking to somebody who said, oh, we could see 120. You know, when I start seeing that, hearing that kind of talk, that probably tells me maybe we're getting a pretty exasperated. You know, we'd really need something special, I think, to see $120 hog prices.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. I'm more in the camp of maybe we push this thing to 100 would be where I'm at. But to me, it would just seem like if I'm a hog producer right now, if I'm not locking a floor in here on hogs, man, I'm being silly if I'm not doing something right now.
I think it's smart marketing. So how do you lock a floor in? Well, if you just like the profit margin, you lock it in. Through a forward sale if you can, or a hedge. When I say hedge, I'm talking about selling futures. Otherwise, we look at something in the put option market, or maybe a hybrid where you buy a put. If you want to reduce the cost of that, but challenge the market, be willing to accept a hedge at a higher level, you go in and you sell a call option. That's called a fence strategy. Some call it a collar, but basically you're fencing in a range of prices. Really good opportune time to really think about this, particularly with those summer months.
Yeah. On the flip side, the cattle market here today was a little bit weaker across the board, and you know, a lot of the same storylines feeding into cattle and beef demand. I know export sales were down last week, as I mean, export sales were down across the board. But looking at this cattle market, you know, we didn't quite get the feedlot prices we thought we'd get last week coming out of that cold weather. We got a lot of cattle to chew through, and this market backed up. What is your thoughts on where this cattle market is moving here as we get into the month of March?
You know, typically we'll see the cattle market peak in the February, March, April window. A lot of that might be weather dependent, a lot of it demand dependent, or both. And so, you know, this one's a tough one because the cattle market probably tipped over a little bit faster than we might have thought. And I wouldn't say it looks like it's a bear market, but today didn't bode well. Solid close under the 40-day moving average on the August cattle. That gives me a little concern there. April cattle looking pretty tough. Last week closed under the 40 and 50-day moving average for the first time since early January. Follow through again today. We're sitting here around this 118, 119 level. We did talk about that 125 level. We didn't know if the market could get a whole lot of steam, you know, beyond that, but it just goes to show you how quickly things go from 126 to basically 119. And now the question, are they just, is this their consolidation point, or are we on our way down to something lower? The charts might say lower, but I think you're going to find decent footing in this area here. And we are entering kind of that spring weather where right now you've got most, if you look at the drought monitor maps, most of the cattle country probably in the drier side, but it'll usually get sloppier at this time of year. Waking gets a little more challenging as you go from temperature extremes and moisture. So I guess I want to believe that, you know, the bigger picture rebound out of COVID, all of that is still yet ahead of the market.
Well, and looking at the feedlot trade here this week, you know, it sounded like we're expected to maybe get some higher priced cattle, but you know, really the last couple of weeks, Brian, we just have not been able to get this, this cattle market feedlot country past kind of that, you know, 112, 114 mark on the live side. It's just been struggling and not wanting to, you know, not wanting to pay for higher price cattle, it seems.
Yeah, and that's what seemed to disappoint the board here. A couple of weeks ago, when we saw the cattle auctions just not materialize, and we'll say, that's a bit of a head scratcher. It looked like we're all on track for higher, and demand seemed to be moving. The products seemed to indicate that. And yet here we, you know, have struggled here the last couple of weeks. So another, you know, other factors we might look at in that whole complex would be cutout values and how do they look versus where the market is today. Should we expect rebound there? Is there anything that we would look ahead to and maybe say that, hey, we need to look at cattle on feed numbers, cold storage numbers, all of these things to see if we need to reverse track a little bit. Just looks to me like a market that may have gotten ahead of itself here a couple of weeks. And I don't think we're going to get overly concerned about it. Actually, it's probably a buy opportunity, I guess, if you're a little bit optimistic. This is the kind of pullback you want to buy into. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I just see that as a big concern, you know, that we're going to ready to wash the market out. cutout value is 240. That doesn't smell of a drop off from here.
Yeah, a lot of things to consider in that cattle market here as we move through the week. I'll be curious to see what happens, not only in the futures side, but in feedlot country as well, if we can get any more movement.
That's just surprising. Yeah, just surprising, especially with those cutouts where they are, 240 and 231 this morning.
Very surprising indeed. I would agree. Brian, dairy market, any updates there that you want to share with us on Monday?
Well, volatility, you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago, and, you know, it's like almost, what do they say, and what everybody seems to say, whatever state you're in, just stick around and the weather will change. Well, stick around, the dairy market seems to change. And so we saw some real, you know, sharp gains in that market, and then real sell-off. I'm going back the last 3 months. And then as we looked at today's activity, and we look at where the market is relative to where it was just a week ago, really jumpy. So some will argue you get a double bottom. You've got good long-term support at $16. I think the demand crowd will say, hey, look, we're just going to kind of get this ball rolling. We've got high pork prices. Cattle have been high. They've come off, as we just talked about. You've got high grain prices. You've got high corn prices relative to where they've been for the last 7 years. The milk market's sort of languishing. Looks to me like, as we talked before, probably well supported, $15-$16, shouldn't seem much lower than that. The question is, can we get back to 20 or 21, 22 and demand the loan? I hate to be Debbie Downer, but I doubt it. We've increased the herd size. We've increased the production numbers. You've got ample inventory. That means we've got to rely on the export market to really clean it up and send it home. And while they've been solid, yeah, I don't think it's the kind of, that alone can't rescue the milk market from probably its own problem, and that is overproduction in our production cycle right now.
Brian, great insight as always here on this first day of March. Any other final thoughts for us today?
Just stay very vigilant. We've talked about this before, you know, creating a balanced approach heading into our U.S. and Northern Hemisphere weather markets. Keep in mind about two-thirds of the world's corn is produced Northern Hemisphere. So as weather goes, we can end up with, you know, surprisingly a large amount of supply of corn or beans if we buy acres and demand diminishes, or we could see things tighten up a whole lot. So the key to all of this is creating that approach where you're doing what we've talked about today, putting floors in the market, making some sales, covering sales with call options. It's the business I'm in. It's expertise that you're in, or relating this news and information. It's putting it together and putting together an action plan that makes sense, takes into account the goals of the farm, the goals and needs of the individual. Make sure you're working along those paths. Trying to outguess the next weather event out of the Southern Hemisphere, that's going to be a tough one.
A lot of things to consider. If folks need help with their marketing, I know they can find you guys online, totalfarmmarketing.com, or better yet, reach out with a phone call or an email, Brian.
Yeah, you bet. 800-334-9779. That's our phone number. If you want to talk specifically to me, ask for extension 300, or just ask for Brian Doherty. And then our email, yeah, you can always email me, and that would be brian@totalfarmmarketing.com.
Brian, appreciate the time as always. Thank you for joining us on this Monday, and have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Jesse, my pleasure. Thank you.
Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing, our guest today here on Market Talk. Find us online, markettalkag.com. This has been the Monday, March 1st edition of the show. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you a great afternoon.